Welcome to the Church of Horribly Perfect. I am the Right Reverend Jimmy Napalm, Fist of Love. And with me is Brother Westy.
Good morning, James.
And the Honorable John D.
Hello.
This season is all about songs, and songs that at least one of us consider perfect. Today we have John D. in the hot seat. And Mr. D., what do you have to talk about today? And that's the end of my my nice presentation. Now I'll go back to my regular voice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that was nice while it lasted. It was good. So my song today is Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
Oh.
Okay.
So, you know, a little background on why I picked this. I picked this because this has, to me, the most Princiest elements of all his songs. Okay, right. So you got almost everything in here. You have the Lin LM1 drum machine going crazy, because you know that's a signature Prince thing. You have the spoken part in the beginning. You got two guitar solos. You got a random breathing part in the middle, and keyboards from all of his 80s stuff, where he's the most popular. The only thing that he didn't have is the high voice, the falsetto he does.
Yeah.
Everything else that everyone knows Prince for is in this song, and that's why I picked it.
So this song is kind of known for its beginning.
Right.
If people mention Let's Go Crazy. First off, it's the first song off of Purple Rain, so it opens up the album.
Yep.
And then people know it from the beginning. So let's...
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld.
All right, so let's stop it there for a sec. So it starts off very preachy. He's clear in the mix. He's right up front. I noticed that we can kind of break down. I could probably break down this section for the next 3 hours. I mean, everybody will hang up. But it starts and it has. But here's the second part that all of a sudden starts to... I have a question about. Let's see.
Well, a never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day. Night.
You can always see the sun day or night. I don't know if I want that. I do not want the sun at night.
Is it Alaska? Don't they have that?
Yeah. Well, so you say Alaska is the afterlife, is what we're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue, shall we?
So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right.
There's your drum.
Love it.
That part's awesome. Right. That part's
love it.
But then he just starts to... I'm going to throw everything on top of me, right? Let's see.
Because in this life, things are much harder than the afterworld. This life, you're on your own.
Great guitar, right?
Yep.
Starts that off. But now his vocals start to get drowned up, but we'll see.
Elevator tries to break you down.
Now you go into the main refrain, right?
Yeah.
So good.
It really is.
It is good. So this is my thing, right? So what I struggled with was trying to figure out, like, is it a perfect song or is it my favorite song, right? Because, like, I would say, like, for me, right, this isn't even my favorite song off this album. But is it a perfect song?
Well,
right,
yes.
Like,
let's get
that's the hard part. That's what I struggle with this week.
I'll even come back to that and agree with you, because the song I wanted to do originally was Raspberry Beret.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
There's no guitar solo in that.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I listened to it over and over again, and that's what I told you guys. I listened to it one more time and I'm like, I can't be, there's no guitar solo.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I sort of like Raspberry Beret better. But it's not, it like I said in the beginning, right? It's missing a lot of Prince elements.
It does.
So
it totally does.
So this one, to me, it had the guitar, it had the Lin, it had the spoken part. It had most of the things that people remember Prince for.
Yeah.
And it has, so let's go into this. Again, let's go back to the main refrain. Right, you get your drum, and then you get that keyboard, right?
The keyboard, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the keyboard is what I think, I mean, obviously besides Prince's guitar, right? Like, it's the keyboard that stands out to me.
Well, first album with The Revolution, too. So they all got writing credits, I think, on this too, right?
They
and
did.
So,
yeah.
So and then you had Wendy and Lisa singing with them, which normally you didn't have before this. So this is sort of where I guess he blew up, right? Purple Rain. You talk about the movie, which if you watched, I rewatched it. It's a vessel for the music, really.
Right, of course.
I've never seen it.
It's sort of terrible. You should watch it.
Yeah. It's not good.
But it's so good because you get all of these songs and you get The Time too. So you get Morris Day and The Time and all their songs, right? So it's a terrific vessel for music. It is a not very good movie.
Okay.
So what I also learned when I was doing, I don't know if you guys saw this, but like, so when Prince was filming the movie, he was also in the studio with Sheena Easton, Sheila E., and Morris Day. Like, then he filmed the movie. Like, it'd be like at midnight, he'd be at the studio, and then have to go to the set the next day.
He would always do that, right? I've seen a bunch of stuff on him where he would, after a concert, I forget the woman who was his producer for the longest time, he would play a concert, and at like 1:30 in the morning, go back to the studio. And start, and he'd call her. He's like, let's get back. He just loved being in the studio, and he loved doing weird things. And I mean, the thing with the drum machine is, you know, I saw an interview with the guy who created it, and he said, well, I owe all of my success with that to Prince because he did things that I didn't think were possible with it. He fed it through guitar pedals. And he did so many other random things with that drum machine to get that sound out of it. And now anyone who uses that drum machine, well, I mean, it's sort of old now, but anyone who did use it at the time was just to try to sound like Prince.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. So this next section here you had mentioned, let's talk about this. It's a 5-second section at 126, and you can tell me what you think. Yeah, I know what you liked. Go ahead, though. Why did you call that part out?
Well, I mean, because this song is essentially about a religious song, right? It's about God and the devil, and he just jams some sex into there afterwards, right? Like in the middle of it for no reason. So it's just hysterical. It's just Prince.
It's Prince.
And then let's go a little bit to Wendy and Lisa making an appearance. Although I think they're... Well, let's see if they actually come out in front. Let's see.
So good.
And that's the only part they show up, right? As back, like doo-wop backup singers. Yeah. That's it, right?
That's pretty much it. Yep.
He's like, I need a little backup for these 5 seconds. Wendy, Lisa, come over here.
give me this. Just echo me. All right.
Yeah, that's it. I don't want anything else.
Yep. Don't do too much.
And then you have first guitar solo. Let's see. Say it's a bit buried in the mix too, right?
Yes.
So he doesn't put it right up front. You can hear it, but the keyboards are still going strong, the drums are still going strong. It's just, especially the first part, the second part even kind of takes off, but it's not a typical everybody pull back, we're gonna put the guitar right up front. It's just, it's there, it's wonderful. But
well, I think for this, right, and I think Wes, you've seen the movie, I think it's supposed to be kind of somewhat of a live vibe. Right.
Yeah.
So if you were there, maybe the guitar would be in the background. I don't know if he intentionally did that, but in the movie, it's live. right? They're playing this live. So maybe it's kind of an effect on that, but, or maybe they actually just played it live. Who knows? Right. But I think that kind of sort of plays into it a little for me.
And then there's a second solo. Let's listen to that near the end of the song. And then we'll, I like to talk about the end of the song a little bit, but hold on. Solo. Now this, at this time, the solo is up front. Everybody else has dropped off. Yep. And then this goes off for another 20 seconds. Right. So here's what I have to say about that. I do not like the ending of this song. And I'll tell you why. Is this song, maybe I'm wrong, is this song a dance song, or is it, potentially you could hear it in a club, right? As soon as it gets to the last minute and a half, or the last half a minute, you can't dance. Not that I'm going out dancing, but what is it? Is it a dance song, or is it not a dance song?
And one of the reasons why I picked this, and it kind of leads into that, Jim, if you listen to a lot of Prince songs, there's a lot of them that have rambling nonsense at the end, right? Sorry. Yeah, so if you listen to songs like even Little Red Corvette, the song really ends like 40 seconds before it actually ends. Right. And he does this. And I think, you know, if you guys listen to especially like Love Bazaar with Sheila E. Sheila E. And the song is fantastic. Right. But then it goes on for like 7 minutes after and it just wanders into some random territory where I don't even recognize it anymore. And it, sometimes I think, you know, with him, he's almost too smart for his own good, and that he's playing all the instruments. He has all these ideas, and then it just kind of, it's like he turns into the Allman Brothers. It's just like going on forever. And I'm like, well, where did the song go? So that's another reason why I picked this, because it doesn't sort of linger meaninglessly for a long time after. And again, listen to some of his other songs and you could pick up on that.
That's interesting, because it's funny that you say that, because Jim's saying the opposite, right? Like, it's like it kind of goes off, but like, yeah, it's interesting. I never really thought about that.
So what you're saying is he has a hard time ending the song.
And he does. He has a hard time ending songs in general.
See, but I think the song that you mentioned earlier, I think Raspberry Beret, he actually, I think it's, he does. Is it a fade out? But it's not
It is, I think.
It's not a mountain jam rambling.
No, 30s. No, but there's no guitar solo in it. There's no bass line in that song either. But there's no guitar solo, so I
couldn't pick it. Just Mr. McGee. Yeah.
You just, yes.
I think that's what I struggled with this with the song, because like, what I don't know. No one's obviously discounting or disagreeing with how smart and genius Prince was, right? Like, his songs, like, and just the way he was able to like layer messages into, like, there were some like upfront messages like Little Red Corvette, right, and Raspberry Beret, but like, you know, even this song, like, I really didn't even like listen to it until we started talking about this and like what the meaning of this song was. And I never really thought about that message. And I think back like 80, you know, that time, like you couldn't write about or sing about or mention God or religion, or you weren't supposed to in music, right? Like, you know, this is his way around that. It just, again, shows his genius, which I think, again, lends to me why it might be a perfect song, but not my favorite song.
Well, and I think, does that make sense? Yeah. And I think actually that's why I like it. Cause if it was upfront about religion and God, maybe I wouldn't have liked the song so much. Maybe it would have turned people off, right? Maybe, you know, if you think of it as sort of a fun song, right, to just to kind of get up and it's lighthearted and it has, you know, it's quick and fun and it's not a religious song, that it plays a little different. It plays in your head a little different. And to my point, and the Vikings used this as their touchdown song, and they just started it when he died to make me wonder why, you know, he's from Minnesota. Why this is like the perfect touchdown song. I don't know why they weren't using it since the day it came out.
Did you guys probably agree that the song recharted after he died? Like, peaked at like 25 or something like that after like no, the
I believe it though.
Died.
This particular song or all the songs?
Yeah, the song.
Oh, I don't know why this song.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So I always found this song is very interesting because it actually has a bad guy in it. It has a villain, and that is the elevator.
No.
Right. Yes. It says, don't let the elevator.
No.
What it's
the elevator. It's the elevator. It's Satan.
Okay. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let the elevator take.
The elevator.
Say Satan.
Who the hell? Yeah. Wait. Since when is Satan the de-elevator?
Well, it brings because he brings you down.
Right. Right.
That was his
thing.
Don't
let the elevator bring us up, break you down.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And if the de-elevator tries to bring you down, go crazy, punch a higher floor.
Well, yes. Going crazy is God, yeah. Right? Let's go crazy. Yeah. It's God.
Where are you getting this from?
That's he said it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the whole song is right. is you know, if you didn't know it, right, like apparently Jim,
which
right?
I do not, yeah.
Right. It's like it's just a fun song with the kick ass guitar solos and right, the drum machine. And you can just like it.
That's exactly what I thought. Like until I started researching and listening to it again. I have this quote. Can I I'm gonna read this quote from Prince, right?
Okay.
It said he said, I had to change those words up, but the elevator was Satan. I had to change the words up because you couldn't say God on the radio. Let's go crazy's God to me. It was stay happy, stay focused, and you can beat the you can beat the elevator.
The elevator.
Yes.
The elevator.
The elevator.
Which no.
No, it's just D elevator.
Just D elevator. D E elevator.
So it's not even the D elevator.
No, it's D elevator.
Oh my God. Well, I learned something today.
Huh? Glad I
right?
did this one.
Maybe that's why it's a perfect song, right? Because you learn things. How many times have you heard the song?
A gajillion.
Right? And again, until we started looking at the song, until we threw it up, it's like, I didn't really think about that. I thought it was a kick-ass, like, funky,
yeah,
get moving song. Like, it's I don't dance, right? But, like, it gets your feet moving, right? Like, it gets you moving, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I never really listened to the lyrics of what it meant. Like, it was like, let's go crazy. Let's have fun, right? But it's actually a wicked religious song.
I spent time looking for other elevators as villains in popular culture just for this. And I'm going to use it anyways. Because I came up with two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think in Die Hard, there was an
elevator. I was going to say Die Hard.
There was an elevator, right? And I don't know if it was a villain, but I know it was in there. And the second one was the M. Night Shyamalan, the movie Devil, in which is a bunch of people stuck in an elevator, and one of them is the devil. I didn't see that one. I don't know what the twist was. But that's the only two that I can think of.
No, I got one.
Charlie the Chocolate Factory had an elevator, but that was like a heroic elevator.
No, that was a good elevator. The bad elevator in Silence of the Lambs when he escapes the...
The body's
the elevator. That was...
Chris Isaac.
Yeah, that was Chris Isaac scene. That was a bad elevator.
But it wasn't the elevator. Well, I guess in none of these cases, the elevator's
actually... The elevator itself.
That'd be a good horror movie. The elevator story, right? It just opens up doors. You walk in, it kills you.
it's razor blades.
It's a 3-second movie.
Closes quick.
Yeah, and they made a movie out of Hostel.
Maybe we're on a movie. Yeah, we can do a movie with it.
Elevator. So it's
we can call it the elevator.
Yeah.
Oh, we're onto something there. I think guys. Oh my gosh, who's gonna write that script? Who's gonna write that the screenplay?
The elevator. That one, dear. Yeah. We have to film it in IMAX too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The 3D.
Does the teeth come out? Starts to shut on people.
They're coming at you. Going down.
Yeah. All right. So can I, again, I'm going back to like my categories, right? I got my categories of what makes it a perfect song, right?
Yep.
And obviously, like I said before, we talked about this last time, right? The first, does it cause an emotion? I don't think it causes an emotion to me, though. I like the song. It's a good song. It's got a good beat. But like, does it really spark anything? I don't really spark anything with me. Like, I don't really think of. For me personally, I don't know.
I think it's fun. I think that was.
It is fun.
That's what I get out of it. It's just fun.
And then it's memorable, right? Yes, it's memorable. But is the song memorable or is the soundtrack memorable?
The song's memorable. Stop it.
I think if this song comes on, if someone plays the song within the first 10 seconds, everyone recognizes the song. And it makes people happy. Yeah. Like, it's one of those rare songs that you put it on and everyone's, oh, yeah, bust the move. Remember Bust a Move? Yeah, yes. See? That starts off, you know, within 3 seconds, everyone's like, hey, so you think, let's go crazy. You hear that beloved? Beginning. You hear that, Dearly Beloved? You're like, oh, yeah, that's it. I know what that is.
And I do, like you said this earlier, Jim, it's good that, like, it starts the, it's the first song off the album, right? And that's like, you know, how church starts. And I, again, I never realized how religious Prince was until I started researching the song. It's like, and he's such a contradiction, right? He's got, all his songs are so sexual, right? But then you also have like the religious part of it too. It's like a, you know, again, I think that's part of his.
Yeah, I think he's always.
His greatness.
I think he's always been known for his religion. But to be perfectly honest, I don't know a lot about Prince. I know, you know, the main points. I would never have picked this. I always just thought the beginning of the song was just a lark. I would never have picked that the elevator is Satan and you go crazy. I mean, you guys, you put the work in. I put work into stupid elevator jokes, and hey, you guys,
that was important too.
Well, it's important. Yeah, we get to talk about Silence of the Lambs, and
yeah, it wasn't even on my list.
And Die Hard. The first thing you said when he said that, I was like, he's gonna come with Die Hard.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what. Yeah, let's not talk about Die Hard.
Tower of Terror. You do Tower of Terror, really? The elevator is
Tower of Terror was the elevator is the villain.
Yeah, the villain
because it goes up, down. You're trapped in there. You crack the
That's code. The one.
Here we go.
Did they come up with a Tower of Terror movie yet? Stupid Disney.
No, we're just waiting.
Stupid Disney
coming soon.
Well, they might not be able to, right? Because it's Twilight Zone. They might not have all the rights to that.
Yes. A couple of things about Prince. People that we know who are big Prince fans. One you won't be surprised, and one you will be surprised. So Chris Carey was a big Prince fan. John, I'd like you for you to do an impersonation of Chris and Prince. Would you?
Well, you know, he would play the guitar, and I think it wasn't always purple, but you could hear the purple.
I'll accept that.
Oh my God, that's so
good. I'll also accept. Do I like Prince? I don't know. Second person who was a big Prince fan, Blanche.
Really?
Can you imagine Blanche with his mullet and his flannel shirt driving around in his pickup truck, listening to Love Sexy?
Alphabet Street.
Right, dude. I'll help you. So good. That's my Blanche.
Dude, Wesley, we so good. We rode to school together for 2 years. In my truck, and I had no idea.
Well, you had an 8-track in your truck. I don't think there was any 8-track.
Oh, shut up. I had it for like 6 months. I got sick of listening to Cheap Trick live at Budokan. That was the only one I had.
So good. But yeah, Blanche was a big fan, too. You never know.
Wow. I want to talk about the movie. Can we talk about the movie?
I don't know if Jim didn't see it, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard. But
I didn't see it. I didn't know the song was about religion. And 1,000, Jimbo.
So Jim's turning into the producer. no longer content.
All right, what else you got, Jim?
So I listened to, so for this, I listened to Purple Rain start to finish twice.
Yeah.
And the second song is Take Me With You. So let me just start this.
It's a lot of Wendy and Lisa.
Exactly, but it's not, just wait a sec. So it starts this way.
So good.
Right, starts that way. To me, it always sounds like this.
Yeah.
Right, it sounds like "Easy Lover" by Phil Bailey and Phil Collins.
Okay.
Right?
Did Prince write that though?
"Easy Lover."
Yeah, because there's so many songs that he wrote.
I think it's a Phil Bailey one.
Maybe, but it was clearly
what came out. If Philip Bailey came out early, right?
Like no,
I think it was.
I'm thinking.
No, Prince.
What are we thinking?
First.
The other way.
I'm thinking Prince first.
It was written by.
Was Easy Lover '83?
Philip Bailey, Phil Collins, and someone named Nathan East. It was released in 1984, November of 1984.
Okay.
Wait a second. When was Purple Rain released? 1984. What came first?
Prince.
I don't know. Those two always sounded the same to me, though.
They did, yeah.
The nod.
But I did write down on my notes, actually, that, like, Take Me With You might be one of my, like, one of the most underrated Prince songs.
It's a good one.
That song's awesome.
I couldn't even think of what's underrated.
Is Let's Go Crazy the best song on Purple Rain or no?
No,
I don't think so.
No.
I think I got the fifth. I have the fifth best song.
Fifth. It's a stretch.
So behind Darling Nikki.
I would die for you.
Say Erotic City.
I would die for you.
Okay.
When Doves Cry, mm-hmm. Purple Rain, and I would put Take Me With You before it, just because it's you don't hear it anymore. You don't never hear it.
It's third.
I don't know.
You can put Purple Rain and Doves Cry in front of it. But that's it.
I would put I Would Die For You in front of that.
Too. I like them all. Again, those songs, right? At the end of When Doves Cry and Little Red Coat, it just rambles on and on. Listen to it again. It just goes for about a minute too long. That's why I think Take Me With You.
I said it before, and I just think it's a song, one of his songs that you don't hear enough. I think it's a really, really good song.
I listen to Prince all the time, so I can't say that.
Let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
Did you know that Wendy and Lisa were a couple?
No.
They were together? And, like, no one knew back then because it was, like, again, taboo that, like, back, like, Prince was dating Wendy's sister at that time.
Prince was dating everyone.
Well, it's true.
They were always very chummy in the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, looking back, like, when they were, like, I think it was the video of Little Red Corvette when they're, like, playing the keyboard together, right?
Yeah, very sensually. Like,
well, yeah.
Huh. Well, the clues were there.
They were. I just found that interesting.
I like that. Anything else, Mr. D?
I liked Matt Fink was Dr. Fink in The Revolution, and he always had the scrubs and the mask on. I thought that was kind of a cool look.
Yeah,
definitely.
Just want to bring that up. I think...
shout out to Matt Fink.
Dr. Fink. And I love Prince. I love mostly everything he does. So like I said, I picked this song because it had the most Princey things at the height of Prince's popularity. So that's why I picked it. And I just, I think he's crazy. I mean, there was a guy I worked with a bunch of years ago. He was Prince's age, and he was in Minnesota. He went to middle school, high school with him. He tells a story about how he saw Prince. He was a kid, right? So there was the band room set up, right, where the band were going to practice, and all the kids were outside waiting for the teacher to come in. So the room was empty, and they're all just kind of lined up in front of the door. Prince walks by. He goes in. He sits in every chair around in kind of a half circle, picks up every instrument, plays every instrument, puts it down, goes to the next chair, does this all the way around the room, puts the last one down, walks out of the room, never says a word. He goes, I saw this. He goes, and he was a kid at the time. It was junior high, high school, probably high school, but yeah.
Are you aware of the Jehovah's Witness story about
Prince? Yes. Yeah, he went door to door.
Yeah, but how he went door to door?
In the limousine. Yeah.
He took a limousine and went door to door and walked up to everyone's door and said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and King? And then went back to his limousine and went back to the next house.
That's crazy.
I think I told you guys, I saw an interview one time with his wife when he was married, and it was him and his wife, and he said, and they asked her, like, do you mind that he's gone? He's always out on tour. Prince goes, I think she'd rather have me home, you know, mowing the lawn and doing things around the house. And I always thought of Prince in the purple sequin thing with the ruffled neck and the ruffled cuffs, pushing the lawnmower. And he gets to the end where, you know, you turn back around. He spins, does a split, grabs the lawnmower again and goes back and goes the other way, and that's how he turns at every time. Like, that image has always stayed in my head.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
She wants me to stay home and mow the lawn.
You can have Wendy and Lisa do the shrubs.
Exactly.
Dr. Fink clean up the
cabin. Dr. Fink can do something, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Fink.
I think he cleans a pool. Dr. Fink will clean the pool.
He is a doctor.
All right, so on that note, let's close up the Dr. Fink show. And, we'll talk to you guys later.